Children are definitely the most costly part of family life, or at least they are in my home. It got me thinking, how can we encourage our kids to help us save on bills, and whether getting them to do this would actually be a good life lesson for them? So I sought the advice of Dawn Baker from Homestart Birmingham, a charity that helps families in crisis. She has helped hundreds of families over the years to get on top of their finances and has loads of great ideas on how you can get the kids involved in making your money go further. Welcome back to Brummie Mummies. My name is Zoe Chamberlain. I'm a journalist, author and mum. I launched Brummie Mummies as a community for families to help people to connect both online and in person. My goal is to share with you ideas and tips from other families on how they juggle family life. A mum herself, Dawn has advice on everything, from fun ways to get the kids to turn the lights off, yes, she actually has this idea, to getting them involved in budgeting and meal planning to cut down on food wastage. So let's get chatting to Dawn to see how we can all start saving. So we're talking all about saving money, but how we can get the kids to help us with this, because they are the most expensive part of family life, aren't they? I think, isn't it, Chef? You have kids, you just are spending so much money.
Yeah.
So what age do you think parents should start talking to their children about money?
I think, to be honest with you, it's quite early. I think you can do it without it being a conversation just about money and putting the seriousness in it. You can start sort of as soon as sort of children start counting, really, because it can help them with their numbers, with value, with counting, things like that. So I think there's a set age, really. I think just to start to introduce money and just sort of talk to them about that and sort of like involve them in discussions, thinking about sort of how that progresses, maybe into shopping, into cash, and just progress as appropriate, sort of try and involve them in decisions, you know, possibly around food or spending, things like that, little bits. I think sort of something that really helps is sort of when you're going into perhaps a small shop and children have the opportunity when they're young to go and pay for something themselves. So I think it really sort of teaches them that value is sort of like you get something in return for that money then.
Yes.
So I don't think there is sort of like a set age, but it's just appropriate.
Do you think you could give us kind of 9 or 10 examples where, just like you have just mentioned, where kids might be able to help parents to save money around the home?
There are some little things that can be done. Simple things like turning lights off. I think that counts for us adults as well as children.
I seem to spend my whole life saying that.
Yeah. I very often say, are we sort of, you know, interviewing for Warsaw Blackpool Illuminations? But yeah, sort of turning water off rather than letting it run, especially if you're on a meter, which I know a lot of families are now. Smart meters are really good, and you can look at that with children, make it quite fun. So you could look at, if you do have a smart meter, turning everything off in the house and then one by one turn things on. Now, this has to be turned off at a plug, obviously not your fridge freezer, but turning like TVs off at a plug and start to turn them on one by one, and you can see sort of, like, you can make it into a bit of a game or a bit of fun to see sort of who can find the lowest thing to turn on and who can find the highest thing, things like that. But also thinking about things that we leave plugged in. So a lot of people charge things, me included, charge things overnight. And actually, they're probably charged up within an hour or a couple of hours. But that carries on using electricity for the whole time that that's plugged in. We can look at laptops are very often just left plugged in. A lot of things, TVs that are on standby. So there are some smart plugs that you can buy that you can actually turn. So when it goes into standby mode, it turns off at the plug. So that will save. What I would say is anything that's left with a little light on, so your extension leads, your chargers sometimes, things like that, that's all using power while you're not using it. So I know we've got like a plug that plugs in and then you put your USBs into it. And there's a red light on that. Even if you're not charging anything, there's a red light on it. If it's got that red light on, it's using some power. They're only little bits. But if you think about all those around the house and how many little lights there are on.
I guess you could get your kids to go and look for those little lights, couldn't you, and see which ones they can turn off.
We've got fans that we had from the summer, and they were still plugged in around December time. So even those, they've got lights on.
Mm.
So it's just those little bits, but lots of things like that. So, yeah, less waste, thinking about food shopping, thinking about the decisions you make. Sort of include children in those decisions. Maybe doing your shopping lists around the menus that you're planning and things like that. But I think also giving them responsibility of their own spending helps them, again, in that first one where we're talking about value of money. So thinking about pocket money, maybe money for holidays, money for birthdays, things like that. If they have their own money to spend, believe me, they will think twice about that spending. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways that we can sort of include children in it. You know, that at the end of the day, we have to remember that we're sort of modelling that for their future.
Yes.
So really, this is about them learning and not all of a sudden when they do have their own home or they have to pay bills, all of a sudden having to find out that things cost more money.
So how do we get them to stop asking for stuff when we go round the shops? That's one thing that they really like to spend lots of money on. It's the sweets at the counter, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's about probably having that conversation before you even go. Or maybe having like a sit down, you know, again, age appropriate. But I would start that quite young, really, and talk about sort of maybe... it depends how many times you go shopping and it might be that once a week they can have something that's up to £1 or once a month they can have something up to £2 or £3. But that's about you setting what you find appropriate. And it's about saying, OK, today we're not spending any extra money. We're just going to get what's on this list. But then another day we will do. And we'll have a little bit of money to spend and you can have that choice. So I think it's about having those conversations before you go. I think the difficulty is when you spring something on a child, that's when we tend to have like tantrums and sort of crying and stuff, because then they don't know what the plan is, especially if previously we've always been able to say yes, because all of a sudden when we turn around and we can't have it. What I would do as well, something I learned a long, long time ago from a training I did, was to learn not to really say no to to your child. And you could say yes, but have a different meaning. So it could be yes next week, or yes in a month, or yes when we've got the money. But they hear the word yes. And trust me, I really didn't think that would work, and it did.
That's really interesting.
They're just little things, yeah.
So when it comes to food waste, I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than chucking half your kid's dinner in the bin. How do we kind of get around that? Is it getting them to cook with us? As you said, maybe meal plan with us?
I think a big part is meal planning. And again, this depends on the size of your family. You know, if you've got a couple of children, they could choose a meal each for a day. But I think if they know what's expected as well and what you're going to have for the week, they're more inclined to sort of to eat some of that, and maybe smaller portions as well. And you know, if you've got some bits left over, you can always add to it if they need a bit more later. But yeah, sort of it's a hard one, because you do have children sometimes that will eat different foods and that. So it is about trying to do meals that we will all eat. But also that planning, I really do think that helps. And they know, again, what is expected and what's going to happen.
And what about days out? I mean, if you go to an attraction or somewhere, it's so expensive as a family. Is it about maybe encouraging children to help you come up with some free or very cheap days out that you can enjoy as a family?
It is, yeah. And I've noticed sort of like, you know, on the Brummy Mummies page, that there's lots of ideas for days out. And it's, you know, it's really good to sort of look at planning those. But especially over sort of the school holidays, if you can find as many sort of free or cheaper days as possible. And if you are going to spend money and there's going to be sort of things to buy there, maybe giving each child a set amount so they have that money to spend again. Because what happens is, otherwise we can go into sort of like the shops and stuff that are there, and then one wants something that's one price, and we end up spending quite a bit. Whereas if you give the children their own money to spend, you set that limit before you even go. But there are lots of free attractions around, or very reasonable ones or cheaper ones. But it's just finding those and making sure sort of like that you've sort of allocated for those.
And do you think we can be quite creative as parents in terms of how we can save money? Maybe, you know, using charity shops or the library rather than buying new things, or maybe swapping games and toys with friends.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, there's so many sort of seller sites on now, sort of where you can sell things that are not used. And I know from experience, when my daughter was little, she had so many things that, you know, that they might have been used once or sometimes never used. As sort of like try and get the children to sort of declutter a little bit if you find that that's an issue, and sort of get some toys that I. You know, okay, these can be taken to a charity shop, but then you can buy one thing when you're there, helping them to give as well. But yeah, thinking about sort of swapping toys with other children, obviously under like your direction, so they're not just taking all the things in and swapping. Libraries are brilliant places, not only for books, but they do activities and things like that, and they will have ideas there as well. But yeah, look around what is there. There are toy libraries, I know, for younger children as well, which is quite good.
So how do we teach our children the value of items? I mean, I don't know about you, but it's so frustrating and expensive when, like, they come home from school and they've lost a jumper or part of the PE kit, or they've ripped their trousers. How do we teach them that that's not really acceptable, because that is a lot of money that they're wasting there?
I think, to be honest with you, this starts from quite a young age, about having responsibility and places for things. And similar to before, it's about us as parents modelling the behaviour that we feel is right or that we want. And children learn the behaviours from adults. So thinking sort of even like as a younger child, you know, having a place for things, so toy boxes, and that toys are put away at the end of the day. So they start to look at sort of the things that belong to them, that they look after them. So it's about looking after books and not just sort of throwing them around the floor. You know, I've seen homes where the books are literally just thrown around the floor, and there is no value then. And if that's what we allow in toys and books and things like that, where they can just get broken, then it will follow through with clothes. But it's also about what we do with things. You know, if we've got sort of a parent that throws clothes or shoes just wherever they land, a child's going to copy that. So I don't think we, you know, we're on sticky points sort of when they go to school and say, well, you must look after it, when you've not actually been shown how to do that or had to do that before. So I think it's about having a place for things, and it's about being reasonable on what you expect. We're all going to lose things. We all do lose things. Even in our own home, we lose things. So it's going to happen at school, and uniform is all the same. So make sure that you think about sort of putting names in, or even just writing, you know, if you've not got name tags or anything, just writing on the labels in the clothes with their names can help. But it is about starting early, really, with that, with young.
I think sometimes we feel like we maybe don't want to talk to children about money because we don't want to worry them, especially if we're particularly worried about it ourselves. How do we get that balance so we talk to them about it in a healthy way without scaring them?
I think it's really important not, as you say, not to scare them. So it's not about saying that, you know, we have no money or we're in debt or we owe money. It's not about putting that pressure onto children. But it's about teaching them for the future. So it's about teaching them to learn to budget And again, going back to them having responsibility for their own money, I think this is where this starts. And it starts, it is teaching them for their future as well about budgeting. I don't feel budgeting and things like that is covered in education. And that's, I feel that's sad, sort of not putting that into that perspective. It may be that it is in some areas, but I think once you learn that skill, it's really, really important. And I think you can do that with anything, with children and with any amount. It doesn't have to be about bills. It doesn't have to be about, you know, sort of complex things. It can be made quite simple. You know, there's nothing wrong in saying, okay, we've got a little bit less money this month, so it might be some of the treats, or we're going to cut down on the takeaways or the treats. We can still have some, but this is what we're going to do, or this is how much we can spend. What would you like to spend that on? Or, you know, and if, again, if you've got a number of children in the family, get each one to choose something different, maybe each month, maybe, you know, whatever is appropriate for your family.
Yeah, that's really useful. So getting them to prioritise, that's an important skill, isn't it? So do you have any examples of families who have successfully got their kids to help reduce their bills without identifying them? But I know that you go out and meet people a lot and help them with their finances. Have you come across that?
I do recall a family a long time ago now, and she was a young mum with a child. She was saying that by the end of the week, she had no money left. She was having to borrow money off her mum. And what we did, we looked at her income. We did a 4-week plan over what she needed to spend. And we did a written plan of everything that she needed to pay out and when she needed to make those payments, or if they were direct debits and things like that. And we showed her that, you know, she did have enough money and she actually had some spare. And if she started to put a little bit of that into saving, even like £5 a week, I think it was to start with, what she would then have in 6 months' time, etc. And she was really, really keen for this. This was a mum who didn't know how to read her meter. So we also looked at some of the things that we talked about earlier about turning the TV off at the wall. We talked about turning the radiators down one, about keeping an eye on bills and things like that. And she started to be able to save money. And I'll always remember when she came to us and she said, you know, I think it was about 6 months later or something. And she said, you know, I'm now at a point where I actually buy things for my mum. And also her, I think it was her fridge freezer that broke, and she was able to go out and buy it.
And that had come
from somebody who actually wasn't managing the week. But that's taught her for life. Now, they're skills that she will pass on to her children. So, you know, even though we may be starting as adults, they're things that we can teach our children as well.
That's really good to have a rainy day fund, isn't it, for the broken fridge freezer or something like that. Do you think, even if we feel like, well, you've just shown with that example, even if we feel like we've got no money, there's always a way to find a little bit for a rainy day fund?
Yeah, I think even a jar, you know, with some odd pennies in or you know, I really do understand at the moment that it's tight for people. But what we also say to our families is if they don't really know where money is going, write down every single thing you spend in a week. And when you look at it and you add it up, you can be quite surprised about how much we do actually spend on things that we probably could do without. And I think a lot of it's about prioritising as well. Where are our priorities? And being realistic with those.
Yes. So are there certain family benefits that parents might not be available? Kind of, you know, if there's free nappy schemes or free dental care for new mums, childcare options, that kind of thing.
There are schemes around, but they can be different in different areas. So it's worth sort of contacting sometimes your local library or local health centres or children's centres. Or Home Start, to try and find out where, you know, if there is anything in your area. What I would say there is in every area across Birmingham is a food pantry. And food pantries are brilliant at the moment. It's a weekly thing, and they have fresh foods. They have different foods for that you choose yourself. And you have a weekly fee that you pay. And I think this ranges from around £3.50 to £5 a week. And they can choose around £15 to £20 worth of food themselves. So people feel as though they're getting something, and they have that choice as well.
That's really good.
There are those across Birmingham. You will find out where, if you go onto the Birmingham Forward Steps website, you will find out where each one is across Birmingham. Some areas there are more than one, but it is something that's been really, really helpful for families. But there, as I say, there are things about, but it's, you know, it's hard to sort of say because they may not be available to everyone. So I don't want to put something out there that people think, I could access that, and then if they find that they can't.
Yes.
But there is a lot of stuff out there.
And you can get free childcare, can't you, for children of a certain age?
You can. There are criteria for that again. So it can start at 2 years of age, depending on benefits and income. There's a 2.5 year one, and then there's the 3 year one. So the 3 year, you get 15 hours of free childcare at 15 hours of free childcare when the child is three. And I believe that that is available to all children. That is not dependent on income. And I think that raises to 30 hours if both parents are working as well, or if you're a lone parent and you're working. So I think that raises in some circumstances.
So that's well worth making sure that you get.
Definitely. And also, you know, if people are getting universal credits or tax credits, they can get support towards childcare costs. I think that they get 70% off the top of my head.
Yes.
Towards childcare costs.
And what about for new parents? Are there certain things that are available to help with budgeting and costs at that time?
There are sort of, but again, it depends on income, and it depends on, so for a new parent that's having their first child, I know that there's a £500 Sure Start maternity grant. I think you do have to be on benefits or a low income for that. But it's worth sort of maybe talking to your midwife or a health visitor about, I think it's got to be claimed within the first 3 months of birth, but it can be claimed, I think, around 3 months before as well. So it's within that 6 month period, I think. But yeah, definitely worth thinking about that. If you are in need of support, do contact your local Home Start scheme. They have access to some baby banks who can sometimes help. There are different schemes around in different areas, and sort of we can normally sort of help with certain items. There are grants around for people who are in need. But again, it's just finding out where those are, how we access them, and what areas they cover. Some are very specific about what areas they cover.
So always worth asking the question.
Yes, definitely.
And that's what you're there for at Home Start, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think we should be reviewing our family spending on a regular basis, particularly as the cost of living increases?
Yeah, definitely. If we set a budget sort of like, 6 months ago, things are very different now, very different. I would make sure that you look at sort of like things around loyalty cards as well, with your supermarkets. I know there's a lot of supermarkets do those. So I know Asda Rewards, which is actually money that is saved, and then you have a voucher to take off. Similar with Tesco Club cards, it brings the price down actually at the time, and I think there's vouchers as well with that. Sainsbury's, I know, do the Nectar card, and again, that can take money off your shopping. So there are things that can help with that. But definitely reviewing your budget, sort of thinking about how much are you spending on shopping, how much are you spending on energy? We've talked about ways that we can cut that down. But also planning ahead and looking at the things that crop up maybe once a year. Do you pay Do you pay things monthly, and is there a fee on top for that? So thinking about car tax, thinking about your insurances, there is always a small fee on top that we pay. So, you know, is it possible to put that money aside each month so that next year when it comes up, you've budgeted for it and you've actually got the money to pay it out in full? But there are also options where if things are available on a monthly plan or something and there is no fee, then sometimes it's worth taking that option for families where they are struggling.
I did just that actually with our home insurance. I was really surprised how much I was paying to pay monthly by standing order. I didn't realise at the time. So I think sometimes there are hidden costs that you just don't realise.
Yeah, definitely. Even the council tax, I'm not sure if it's still the same, but I know years ago the council tax payments were taken over 10 months. But if you speak to the council, you can have that over 12 months, which just makes those monthly payments that little bit more. But I do think you have to request that. And I know water payments used to be the same over 10 months. And again, that can be moved to 12 months. So do look at sort of, you know, how that money's coming out and things. What I would say with your energy companies as well, I know that there's been a lot of, and they are trying to help people, and they are trying to help people to be realistic on what energy is going to cost going forwards. But just because somebody says we need to increase your payments, I would be checking that out. That's what you want to do. And to remember that you always have a choice. You don't have to increase those payments. And an example of this is, and I think it was around 12 months ago, my energy company had contacted me, and they are very, very good. They contacted me and said, you need to increase your payments. And I sort of looked at what, because I'm quite good at sort of looking at what I'm using. And because of the apps now, you're able to keep track of how much you're spending each month and things like that. I said, actually, I'd prefer to keep it as it is at the moment. And they did keep it as it was at the moment. And then a bit later on in the year, they were like, oh, you need to increase it. I'm like, okay, I'll increase it up to this amount. But it wasn't what they wanted me to increase it to. And then I was asked to increase it again because of, and I worked out that over the next 3 months, I would actually be in credit. And I'm like, well, actually, no, not at this moment in time. And I also knew that the government support was coming in September. So I didn't. And that was around last August. Now, I knew that there would come a time over the winter months where I'd probably have to make a one-off payment to put it back to zero. And this month, literally yesterday, I made that very first one-off payment. Now, I would have been paying that over the last probably 4 or 5 months, and that would have been in credit. And I do understand why that is. I really do understand. And what I would say is you've got to be well-controlled yourself in your spending, because you still have to put it aside so that when you do need to make that payment, it is there to make it. So if you feel that's not something that would suit you, then do increase your payments and follow sort of what is being advised. But if you are strong and you can sort of plan that and sort of see what it's like, then do that.
Because it's always better to have the money in your account than theirs, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do around the family home, thinking about sort of like cooking. So thinking about bulk cooking and freezing stuff, make sure when you cook on a hob that you put lids on saucepans, because that actually uses less energy because they don't need to be as high once they're boiling, things like that. Turning heating thermostats down, turning washing temperatures down, even just by one, sort of with your thermostats and your 10 degrees on your shopping. The washing powders are supposed to be really good now and that you can, you know, sort of wash on lower temperatures. Your shopping list, definitely with your menu planning and the smart plugs that I mentioned before and even like the smart lights, if you feel that would be of benefit to you. You know, there are things out there that can help us. What I would say is the Energy Saving Trust, their website, gives you lots of things and ideas of cutting sort of bills and energy and things like that.
That's really useful. So what should families do if they're struggling with debts and bills? Okay. Where can they go for help?
What I would say is don't bury your head, because a lot of us do it. And I think people think that if you don't open the letters, it doesn't exist. It does exist. And it becomes a bigger issue, and it can impact on your mental health and lots of other things around family life. What I would say is do open it, do face it. But I would say contact organisations such as Step Change or National Debt Line. They are really, really good at helping you to budget, but also helping to look at those debts, those bills, and setting up plans. Step Change, National Debt Line, things like that, they are voluntary organisations. They do not charge a fee. It is a free service. If you don't want to talk to somebody on a phone, most of them do web chats as well, which sometimes is much, much easier for people. But what I would say is there are companies around that do set up sort of plans to pay off debts, but there will be a fee included. So think about those free access ones like National Debt Line, Step Change. There will be others, but those are just two examples of ones that do that service for free.
And could you tell us a bit about how Homestart helps families?
Okay, so in relation to money, we will normally, so each family has a worker, a volunteer that will go into their home regularly to support them in you know, whatever their needs are. But we will also talk to them about financial management, the household budget. And we will be able to support with that sort of on a week-to-week basis, sort of help setting up plans. We also know of organisations that we can signpost to that might help with different things. So, yeah, it is really important to sort of get that support out there. But there is support out there for families. Sometimes it's finding it, and it can be different in different areas, which is sad. But, yeah, we will help to look at budgets and to budget planning and looking at making some savings and helping to prioritise things.
I think that's really useful. And what you were saying as well, to take those first steps and start to look at your budget. It's also a really good way of modelling for your kids and hopefully teaching them lessons for the future.
Yeah,
that's all
most
all
definitely.
Been really, really helpful. Thank you so much. Great to see
you,
Dawn.
You're welcome. And you, Zoe. Thank you for asking me.
You can read all of Dawn's tips on our Brummie Mummies Facebook page and on the Birmingham Live website, plus all the links to the organisations and charities she mentions are on there too. Find out more about Homestart by visiting the website homestartbirmingham.co.uk. This is a Laudable production, available on all major platforms, including Spotify and Apple. Please share this episode with anyone you think might find it useful. You may also want to check out our episode with Money Mum, Gemma Bird, too. See you next time.